Winston Churchill once quipped, "There is something about the outside of a horse that is good for the inside of a man." Wyoming Catholic College senior Miss Amanda Johnson would, I think, enthusiastically agree. This is the After Dinner Scholar Podcast from Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tomkiewicz. As I mentioned in our last podcast, last week was Senior Oration Week here at the college. Our seniors write a thesis in the fall, and after Christmas break, present some portion of their work as a half-hour lecture, followed by a half-hour of questions from a faculty panel and from their peers. The topics last week ranged from the poetry of Gerard Manley Hopkins to nostalgia in the works of Lilla Cather, from the chiastic structure of St. Augustine's Confessions to cryptography, from hunting to horsemanship, the topic of this podcast. All of our students, you probably know, learn horsemanship, and Amanda Johnson distinguished herself as a horsewoman, and I asked her why she chose horsemanship for her thesis and oration.
I've always loved horses, and I knew I needed something that would keep me going and, like, wanting to do it. So I really wanted something to do with horses just in general. But then freshman year, I went on a horse trip, a horse week-long trip, and Mr. Clement talked a lot about dominance versus dominion. And I thought that would be a really cool thesis. And I thought about it more. I'm like, well, they both come from the same Latin word, and that's not as interesting to me. So then, like, what could I do that is incorporated with that? And I just thought about, like, our dominion in general over creation. Like, I didn't really know, like, exactly what that was, but, like, exactly our role in it. And I thought, like, horsemanship, that requires a lot of knowledge behind, like, what the horse is and, like, how we interact with it. It's very involved with what the horse actually is and how it communicates. So I just thought that was a very interesting topic, and it, I was pursuing something I really loved, and it just helped keep me going.
And you began your oration with definitions. Tell us about humans and horses.
Yes, so they are very different, but also similar. So man is this social and rational creature, and we were made in the image and likeness of God. So we have this social aspect, just like he does. He has a plurality of persons among the Trinity, and he created us to have that plurality. You see that in our communities. We also have this rationality that he gave us, and this was used so we could have dominion over creation, because we need this rationality in order to understand God's creation and understand our task to just properly live out that dominion, that gentle ruling that he gave to us. And then horses, they are also this social creature, and they're this prey animal, and those two coincide a lot. So that prey animal, usually they live in groups because they want that social atmosphere. They want to feel safe, and they feel safe with other people. So that social connection that both they have and also man has gives us this ability to interact with them, because once they have this foundation of trust, they will seek out that relationship with us. And then so, too, we also seek out that relationship with them.
Now, the difference, of course, is that they're prey animals. We're predators.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
How does that enter into it?
It definitely adds a whole nother level. On the natural level, it doesn't make sense for horses to even want to be near a predator, let alone the biggest predator in the world. It adds this level of trust that we have to have and that we have to gain from the horse. But also we need to learn to trust the horse. And that seems kind of contrary, because if we are the number one predators, why would we have to gain trust from a horse? Like, why do we have to trust the horse? But it comes from the fall, when we have this knowledge of evil around us, and then we realize the power that the horse has and how big it is, and if it wanted to, it could kill us. So it requires this trust from both of us.
Now, your oration title is Horsemanship, An Art to Aid the Restoration of Fallen Man. Well, that's quite a claim.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how that's the case.
Yeah, so horsemanship helps to restore three really big relationships that we have. So the first one is our relationship with creation, and then our relationship with ourselves and others, and then ultimately our relationship with God. So with creation, horsemanship helps us to restore a proper hierarchy. And this is because horsemanship requires us to have a gentle ruling over the horse. We can't just come in full force and control the horse's movement and force our will onto this animal. It requires a cooperative partnership between man and horse. And in that way, it's helping us to understand that we are in creation, but yet we are set apart in a way. So we have this ability to work with creation rather than just to abuse our gift from God. And then it helps us to understand ourselves because horses are so reactionary and so perceptive. And this goes back because they are prey animals. Because they're perceptive, they are able to pick up on our emotions and our body language. And that helps us to realize how we come off. And then it helps us to put our reason above our emotions because now after the fall, our emotions are driving our reason. And we act out on our emotions rather than thinking about it rationally. So it helps us put that back in order. And it helps us with our relationship with others because it's teaching us how our body language is coming off because they speak primarily through body language, whereas we primarily speak through verbal communication. And so we aren't really aware of how our body language is being portrayed, but yet we pick up on other people's body language without realizing it. So when we are communicating with other people and we're giving off this persona with our body language, it may come off a completely different way than we mean to. So by working with horses and they react to that body language, it helps us to understand what we are doing and how we're acting.
So other people will ignore our body language and listen to our words, but the horse only understands our body language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then there's also, like, we do have body language, but it's, we don't pay attention to it. So it's like in the back of our mind, like if I were to just like stand over you, we don't really like rationally think about it, but it would come off as if I'm being oppressive or like trying to assert my dominance. I'm standing up really big versus like if I was really quiet and like slouched over, it comes off as being submissive or like scared. We don't really consciously think of those things. But we do perceive those things from other people. So the horses help us to recognize how we come off.
Right. Well, the horses pick up that and nothing else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And finally, our relationship with God.
This is in an allegorical sense. So in horsemanship, we have a horse and we have man. And the horse, we see, naturally wants to flee from man. And we see this because it's scared of us. We are the predators. It's the prey. It's naturally going to want to run. And we see that it's up to man to create an atmosphere where the horse can learn to trust us. And by working with the horse, we guide the horse up to man, because man is a higher being. So the man knows what is best. And if we work in horsemanship properly, we're able to guide this horse back up, help it to aid man. And in that sense, we are helping it to, or we're elevating it to a higher end. And then we see a similarity in our own relationship with God. We see that man, after the fall, because of this fear that we have, we naturally want to flee from God. And then we see that God is trying to bring us back to him. Just like in horsemanship, the man is trying to bring the horse to himself. And we see that in our own lives, we are in this routine of sinning and being punished by God. But that punishment, we need to recognize that it isn't just so God can get revenge on us. It's so we can understand what we did and why it was wrong and then use that as an inspiration or a hope to come back to God. So he's trying to lead us through that punishment back towards him, which is ultimately what he wants. He wants that pure and direct relationship with us, and we want that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just as the horse is then raised submitting to human beings and being ridden is, I don't know, more horsey than the horse out in the field just grazing and running around, the feral horses that we see around here. The horse has a higher purpose for its life in a similar way than we have a higher purpose if we're submitting to God.
Exactly.
Now, what about, you mentioned that we used to talk about breaking horses, and we don't talk like that anymore.
Yeah.
Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so we often hear the term traditional horsemanship, And that is the way, like, the cowboys used to do it that we hear of, and then breaking the horses. But this is rooted in the ideal of, or the idea of breaking the horse's spirits and breaking it from its nature in order to impose our will on it and to force it to do what we want. So in the term breaking horses, that is referring to a horse's first saddle, first bridle, and ultimately first rider. So when you go to put a saddle on a horse that doesn't trust you, it's going to be scared because horses are prey animals. Things on their backs means they're going to die. So they have this initial fear of it, but because we don't recognize that fear or we put it aside and we're so focused on our goal of riding this horse, we restrain the horse. We tie its feet up. We tie the saddle down super tight so it can't fall off. And what we're doing is we're creating this barrier between us and this horse. So this horse is not going to trust us because we're imposing this scary object on its back, and it sees that as very fearful. And then when we tie it up or we whip the horse who is not submitting, we're instilling this fear in the animal. And that's not cooperative at all. So there's no partnership. There's no relationship. So forcing horses and whipping them or using spurs incorrectly, or just like anything that forces the horse to do what you want without communicating with it, is not horsemanship. Because we want, in true horsemanship, it is the whole idea of doing things with the horse and for the horse rather than to the horse. So we want to ultimately create this partnership that's built off of trust. And to do that, we have to learn how to communicate with the horse. We have to understand what it's saying to us and then also what we are saying back to him. We want that clear communication so that the horse realizes we aren't there to hurt him. And in fact, we want to work with the horse and have this partnership there. So yeah, there's a big difference between true horsemanship and the traditional horsemanship that we often hear of. It is more in the past, but there is definitely still people who go about it in the traditional method.
Now, why horsemanship and not, say, dogmanship or goldfishmanship or something like that?
For helping us to restore our fallen nature?
Yeah.
Yeah, so horsemanship isn't the only way to go about restoring our fallen nature, but I'm saying it's the best because, for one, it's one of the more universal things. Like, people with autism, people with PTSD from, like, war, like, veterans will go to horse therapy, and this is because the horses are able to reach everybody who comes in contact with it in one way or another, and it's building this trust. We see, like, in dogs, a dog is a man's best friend. We obviously have a connection with dogs, and we can learn trust from them, but with dogs, they're also predators, just like we are. So there's initially just not this fear that they have of us like horses do. So like I said earlier, horses naturally should not want to be near man. So because of that, it requires us to already have a deeper sense of trust between man and horse just to be next to them versus a man and a dog standing next to each other. It doesn't require that much trust from either of them. And then ultimately with horses, we often ride them, which is so contrary to their nature to have a predator on its back willingly. It just adds a whole nother layer of trust that is there, and for any relationship that we have with people, with friends, family, and then ultimately with God, we need that trust in order for any sort of relationship to be there. So that's why horsemanship is so powerful, and I'm claiming is the best way to start this journey of restoring our fallen nature.
Now, once you graduate, how do you intend to pursue horsemanship, or do you?
I do. I am looking into doing equine-assisted therapy. So there are a couple programs. I'm looking into the program EGALA, and that's more of the psychological aspect of horse therapy. So rather than physical therapy with horses, I want to focus on more of, like, with people with mental disabilities or with PTSD, and, like, just helping them to regain what they've lost or what they may never have had. So just building that trust and then helping them to transfer that to their other relationships and just, like, help them to get back into the world and be able to live a better life.
I must confess that as I sat on the faculty panel listening to Miss Johnson's oration, I had an enormous desire to go riding. To, again quote, Sir Winston Churchill, "When you are on a great horse, you have the best seat you will ever have." For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tunkowicz.